I mean, for example, you could be a famous badminton player and you won every game. Oh, they splash it out in the headlines, you know, success, success. You lose one game, the headlines is twice as big. The indefeatable one is defeated. Headlines, exclamation mark. So there is David, the one who slayed Goliath, running. At a time when he was at his lowest point, God was still working. My friends, at a time when you're at your lowest point, God is still working. But He's not working for your present, He's working for your future. You were at wish that He were working for your present. No, He's working for your future. And do you notice in the book of Chronicles that in chapter 12, as the army continued growing, the major part of the army that continued growing was in verse 1 when David was in Ziklag. When David was at Ziklag in chapter 12, verse 1. Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men helpers in the war. Remember what Ziklag is? Ziklag was another low point in David's life. Ziklag was a place where when he came back from the Philistine camp, he found all his wives and all his houses all burned down, his wives taken, and every soldier came and found nothing there left. Everything was burned right to the ground. And all the men wept and cried until they had no more strength to cry. That's what the book of 1 Samuel tells us. And then they all took stones and wanted to stone David. That was Ziklag. Ziklag represented a low point in his life. In other words, the building of David's army came about primarily at his lowest point. Your army is built in the valleys. It's boot camp, really boot camp. And it's where God builds the most important place. Now there are much similarity between David and Moses. You see, there were three areas that you can see in the book of Exodus, three things that Moses had when he led the Israelites out. Number one, Moses used the rod. The rod. And with that rod, he performed all the signs in the land of Egypt. And with that special rod that God has anointed, he led the Israelites through the Red Sea. The second thing that Moses had, when they were coming out of the Red Sea, or when they were crossing the Red Sea and when they're coming out of Egypt, the second thing that God manifested at the time when they're coming out, you'll notice in the book of Exodus, was the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. The third thing that they had when they came out, well, all these things I better point to you from the scriptures. Right? Let me just give you all the scriptures. In the book of Exodus, notice that when God spoke to Moses and appeared to him, sent him in chapter 4, verse 17, God said, "And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs." That is in Exodus chapter 4, verse 17. And verse 20, the second sentence, "And Moses took the rod of God in his hand." The second thing that Moses had after the rod, and the whole book of Exodus is about that rod, up to chapter, look over at chapter 13, verse 21-22, Exodus. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." The pillar of cloud, pillar of fire started when they started coming out of Egypt. That was the second major thing. And it was with them for 40 years. The third major thing when they first came out, besides having the Ten Commandments, was in chapter 24, when Moses, he has not received, he has not gone up to the 40-day fast up yet. But in chapter 24, when they freshly came out in chapter 24, he made a covenant with God. And they slew a burnt offering in chapter 24, verse 5. And verse 6, he took the half the blood and half he sprinkled on the altar. Verse 7, he took the book of the covenant. You notice the 10 plagues, the 10 commandments were not given in the official manner as you see in the two tablets here. They were given earlier by God in chapter 20 under the book of the covenant, but not in the special tablets that Moses received on the 40-day fast. That was the cutting of the covenant in chapter 24. There were three experiences that Moses experienced in his early days with the Israelites. And thus, those are the three things that David also experienced. Number one, he experienced the army. For him, it was the army. And notice the army that David assembled came about in the time of Adullam and in the time of Ziklag, primarily. Later on, when he was a Hebron, he got some more people coming to him, but primarily it was Adullam and Ziklag at its lowest point. Do you know what that rod of Moses represents? That rod, right? That rod that Moses had was the same rod he used for 40 years in the wilderness. That rod was a rod of rejection. He was rejected by in Egypt, and he ran away because of a wrong that he did against the Egyptian, because he thought he was bringing vengeance to the Israelites. And for 40 years he was in the wilderness using that rod. And when God sent him back, God took that lowest point in his life when he was a mere shepherd and turned it into something powerful. Don't underestimate the valleys that you go through, because it's in the valleys that your strongest mighty man, or for Moses, your strongest character is being built. The strongest part of your soul, the strongest part of your being, or it's in the wilderness that the structural and the foundations are laid for your life and your building. Before every building goes up, depending on how high the building is, they have to do piling work. If it's just a house, well, simple, you know, piling work and foundations will do. If it's an average ground. But you're going to build, the taller it goes, the deeper it goes. The taller it goes, the more firm and compact the earth must be. The more piling need to be done. And so it's the same way. It's during the valleys that the backbone of your entire life and of your entire soul is being built. David's entire life, in the end, every time fall back on the mighty man. When Absalom was pursuing him, it was a mighty man whom they were afraid of. Don't underestimate the valleys, the rod of Moses. Your rod. Now today, it doesn't mean just because you want to copy Moses, you know, you cut a piece of wood from a guava tree or something and pray over, oh Lord, turn it into a snake, Lord. You know, you wouldn't want it to turn into a snake. I mean, don't try the same tricks, right? God is not a magician. He's a miracle worker. But he's not going to entertain you with magic shows. No, you don't have to take those rod and try those things. Your rod represents those things that you learn. Principles you learn. Methods that you establish. Characters and characteristics in your life that came out from your valleys. So don't get discouraged and depressed when you're in the valleys. Be strong and of good courage, because that's where your mighty men come to you. And that's where your rod is formed. You say, but I don't see anything yet. Who knows? You could be just 20 years. Got another 20 years to go, Moses 40 years. All you look around, you see sheep dung, right? Taking care of sheep. But your rod is important. One day it's going to become the rod of God. The second thing that was important in David's life that he established in God was the ark in the book of 1 Chronicles. Now, if you notice similarly, Moses had the pillar of fire. David has the ark. Why? Because David was going to lead the people like Moses into a new realm. After Moses died, God manifested the ark. From the pillar of cloud to the ark. When David died, it was changed from the ark in the tabernacle to the ark in the temple. It was a new manifestation. So similarly, David brought the people out of an exodus, out of their old ways, into the new ways of God. Out of the old ways into the new ways. And for that, the second most important thing, after you have the rod, the second most important thing is to have the presence of God. You see, the rod represented what you receive from God. Principles, methods, anointings or whatever. What you receive from God. But the pillar of cloud and the ark represent the personal presence of God. Let me differentiate between the delegated presence of God and the personal presence of God. All these three are important. They deal with God's presence. The rod is, of course, God's presence. When a miracle is wrought, by that rod we recognize it's God's presence. But that rod was God's delegated presence to Moses. And Moses could take that rod and work miracles with it. You and I have a delegated presence of God. If you receive a gift of healing in your life, every time when you are walking right with God and there's a need for that gift, you will sense and feel that delegated presence of God to your life. And that delegated presence of God in your life, which is the gift of healing, that measure of His presence that is coming forth as a gift of healing, will come forth in your life, and when you lay hands on the sick, they shall feel and sense and healing virtue come into their life. It is not yours, and yet it was yours. It was yours to use. It was yours to be faithful in bringing it as a blessing to people. So we all have, through gifts that God has given to us, we all have, through principles that God has taught us, a delegated presence that God bestows on us for us to be obedient to. Now that delegated presence can grow. We can grow in God. But that's different from the personal presence. The delegated presence should bring about the personal presence. Sometimes it doesn't. You see, sometimes when people have a gift in the area of prayer, where they are very successful in prayer or intercession, and I heard it mentioned many times, sometimes a person prayed and one day, it is a true story, one day it actually happened. I know it sounds unbelievable, but this actually happened. This person came to see me in my office and he says he went to a certain church, and in that church he was the first time there, and the pastor noticed that it was quite a small church of 50 or 60 people, and he called the person out, give a good nice prophecy about finances and financial need and a sort of decent financial need in his life, and after that, asked to see this person. He said, I want to see you later in the office. So the person, he was a prominent businessman who just happened to be going through hard times. And so in the end, he got to see this pastor in the office.